Lecture topic: submitting our desires to the wishes of Allah Ta'ala and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Before we start the majlis, I will listen to Hazrat Mullah Masyullah Sahib Rahmatullahi's adab in namaz. You will come to realize that how many of us, we are reading namaz, we don't realize that our namaz have no real beauty in it. So how nice he said, that first and foremost you must be very humble when reading namaz. Heart must be very, very soft. You must have that tranquility of peace on mind, peace of heart you must have. Humility is very important when you namaz, in every occasion, but namaz you will be very humble. Very humble. The word Allahu Akbar means to be humble. See, we just think like a habit, you know. We just read namaz, we just make a habit, Allahu Akbar. But unfortunately, if you begin to just ponder upon the word Allahu Akbar, every posture, position that we go, that word Allahu Akbar is reminded to us all the time. That Allah, you are the greatest. But you have to bring it into your life that Allah, you are the greatest. And you have to become humble that you are nothing. You must be humble at the time of namaz. The peace of mind in namaz is very important, because one is the outward of namaz and one is inward of namaz. That's what we call khushu and khudu. So Hazrat is saying that when you read namaz, you must be very careful how you read namaz, that your gaze must be kept on one place. When you say Allahu Akbar, you must learn to keep your gaze one place, and that must be your place all the time. The place at the time when you're standing at home, standing up straight, that you must think, put your straight, your glance towards the place of your sizda. Now when you put your gaze towards the sijda, then you must be able to not to even blink also. Not even to blink, that you are completely at ease. That's why the inward must be peace and outward must be peace. Respect must be. That the way you put your glance towards that ground, that where your sajda is. Then he gave us the example of a person, and he goes out hunting. He goes out hunting and he sees his prey. At that time you find, you notice that his glance is so much tied up to that person, to that animal, that he does not even blink also. Does not even blink also. So just as the person, when he sees his prey and he wants to shoot that thing, he knows if I'm going to blink, it's going to go. Likewise, when you make namaz too, you must think to yourself, that when you're going to sajda, that place must be all the time stamped in your head, that this is where I'm going to put my mind, my eyes every time I read namaz. Many people look around, all kind of things they do. So this is one way, as he's saying, that you must make sure that you glance towards the place of your sajda. And when you're at ease all the time, then that means that you won't blink at all. That don't blink at all. Not that while you read namaz, your heart must also be at ease. With peace. Peace means this one, that your heart must not be wandering around. Wandering around. It depends on you, how you do things. When you look at, you know, when it's time, when you look at that person, even looking at that prey to shoot, my heart is not wandering around that time. He's not wandering anywhere. He's just controlling that place that my eyes, I must shoot that animal. And he knows if I'm going to wander around, that thing go away too. So just how much you pay so much attention to shoot an animal, likewise in salah also you become of that kind, that when you read namaz, that your heart must be so inclined toward Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that your heart does not go towards world. I said not go towards the world, to put your mind here and put everywhere. Like how we do, we just come out from the shop, while we're in a masjid, our house, our hearts are in the shops. Like, you know, one masjid, the imam was performing salah. It so happened that he performed 3 rakat instead of 4. So no one could give answer. Only one person, Hazrat, you read 3 rakats. He said, well, how do you know about it? I got 4 shops, he said. The first rakat, I was thinking of my one shop. The second one, the second shop, third one, the fourth one didn't come. So the thing is this much, that's how we are. That we do not absent our mind completely, take everything out of our mind, because we go last minute to masjid. We don't prepare ourselves. We're supposed to prepare ourselves, and if you really look at it, Allah has been so kind to us, Nabi Karim was so kind to us, that even given us the opportunity that you come to the masjid, prepare by reading the four rakah sunnat. The four rakah sunnat is preparing yourself in your mind and heart, that whatever mistakes you're making, you do it in that four rakah, that try to, so that when you come to first namaz, you're completely ready now to perform the fourth namaz. So when we come to the masjid, we come with that kind of mind, that we're talking to each other, we're not prepared. Yet, you know, when a person has got a case on, when he's got a case on, you can talk to him, you only look at the face too. He's worried about his case. He's concerned what I must do, what I must not do, all that he's worried about. But yet, a big case in the masjid of Allah Ta'ala, the court of Allah, we're not worried about case too. And also we know this month that is Nabi Karim said that when you read namaz, think that your last namaz. Think your last namaz. Now if it's your last namaz, then how you should read it? Because you don't know when you get another opportunity also. Then we just go out to the mosque, you're gone. You never see another namaz too. So what I'm saying is, Hazrat is saying, bring about peace outwardly and inwardly. So when you go into sajda, when you look at your stand up, then we Allahu Akbar, then you look at the place of your sajda where you will make sajda. Now that must be stamped all the time, not that only one time. To form a habit, it become a habit first and then become ibadat. You know, in Urdu, adat, or uske baad, ibadat. Everything is a habit in the beginning, adat, then become ibadat. So now you make a habit of looking at that place all the time, then that's your namaz, now you look at that. So it becomes ibadat after that. Like if you go into ruku too, ruku means you look at your feet. You look at, that must be now stamped, that's what I'm going to look at. Then when you look at the feet, then you say, Allah, then you go down to sajda. When you go to sajda, you look at the ground you want to look at, wherever you look at, but pick one place you must keep. Very important is you listen to what you read. If you want your control, if you want real concentration in namaz, listen to what you read in every posture, you listen to what you read. When you're going to say Allahu Akbar, you don't have to say loudly, say Allahu Akbar, but your ears are listening to what you are reading. Your ears, unless you don't do it all the time, you won't know what I'm talking about. When you're going to ruku, you say Allahu Akbar, you're listening to Allahu Akbar. So your mind is no one other than Allah Ta'ala. Sami Allahu liman hamida, you're listening to Sami Allahu liman hamida. Allahu Akbar, you're listening to Allahu Akbar. Now tell me that kind of person in namaz, where is his mind going to be? Then even when you go into, when you sit down also, when you sit down also, then where you look at? You look at your chest, or just look down a little bit. And you read. And listen to what you are reading. If you listen to what attahiyatu lillahi wa salawat wa tayyibat, when you're listening to what you're reading, your mind won't go to anyone else, but you have to prepare yourself, discipline yourself. If you discipline yourself, then everything comes right. In the beginning, you may have difficulty because you don't have the habit. But once you continue making namaz like that, then you find that it becomes very easy. But the most important thing is, khushu and khuzu must be one. Khushu means this much, the peace of heart you must have when you need namaz. And khuzu is that every action or posture that you make, that posture must be done with respect and with peace. With respect, adab. Adab is most important. In namaz, you make adab most important. So when you do that, and assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, when you say assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, you must also think that you're making salam to the next person, faisal farishta. We don't think like that. You make assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, then you're making the next farishta next to you, you're making farishta on your shoulder, and that person farishta. So much you can learn if you know what it is to. But read namaz in how you're supposed to read namaz. Don't just read namaz and hit and run, you know. Then you expect the namaz to be accepted. So my Hazrat should say, you have beautiful cars, you have beautiful homes, you have beautiful clothing, you have all that, you have so much of, but you don't have a beautiful namaz. He says, what kind is that? That everything beautiful you are looking for, and you are getting it, but the beautiful namaz, when you'll get that? The beauty of namaz is that you read it how Allah and Rasulullah want us to read namaz. And when you said read it as the last namaz, then you must think this month, I don't know when I'm going to get another opportunity to let me read my namaz the best. So let us be and try to improve our salah. So I just heard today Mahajaji's bayan on that, so I thought let me share it with you all so that our namazes can become something. And if you read namaz in the correct way, inna salata tanha anil fahshai wal munkar, then Allah Ta'ala says, namaz is sufficient for a person to keep away from all indecent acts. So Allah Ta'ala must give the tawfiq of acting on it. The majlis is upon today is about desires. People have a lot of desires, you know. We are not supposed to follow desires. You know, shock. You got shock. This shock is a very, very dangerous thing. I want shock to go for umrah. I want shock to go for jihad. I want shock to do this. I want shock to do that. But not realizing that that's not the answer. We have to look at what Allah and Rasulullah wants. It's not what we want. For example, I tell you, if a person owes a lot of money to people and is owing, but he says, no, I'm going for umrah. I want to spend all the money there. Because they got a shock to go, you know. I know I want to go. You know, my wife wants me to go. Or my mother wants me to go. Then all the other things go out. You're owing all the people money, they can hang. They can do whatever they want. I must go. No, I must go. So this shock that we have, we must not have that. We must do what Allah Ta'ala wants us to do. Many a time of people do certain things we were not supposed to do. For example, Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam has given us a way, that is the right way to do. We will not do anything more than that. Now, but because you enjoy doing those things, or people and sisters have done those things, so let us do also those things too. So now you are keeping yourself happy by doing all those things, failing to understand Rasulullah did not do those things. So we will tell them someone, why are you doing that? Rasulullah did not do that. Why are you doing it? He said, no, I just want to do it. I like to do it. It's not what you like, it's what he likes. What Allah Ta'ala likes. In our life, the most important thing we should have at heart is no more our likes. Is no more our desires. Is what Allah's desire is. What Allah's desire, what Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's desire is. No matter how much you want to do certain things, if it's not according to Allah's command, you don't do it. We all also know, the people know that to make namaz is qaza. Make namaz qaza is a very big sin. It's a very big sin without any valid reasons. But we know when people went for hajj, they go to Muzdalifah, they read Maghrib namaz in the time of Isha. No one can say, no, let me read Maghrib namaz on time and go because it's on time. That is not, the namaz that will not be accepted. Because Allah Ta'ala did not, Nabi Karim did not read namaz at that time. So we come to realize that not what we want to do is what they want us to do. Like in Makkah Sharif, to leave that 100,000 sawab and go and stay in Mina, completely, and we've been told we can't go there. Someone said, no, let me go there to read Makkah. So, now tell me, what will he get? Will he get a reward? He won't get reward because the action is not that he is the act, but Nabi Karim said that moment, what you do is what he has to keep fast. Now a person, hey, you know what, I'm keeping fast, let me keep right to Isha. He's very happy to keep up to Isha, but that will not be accepted. Because what Allah Ta'ala showed that must do, everything is what. What we have to learn is our pleasure must be Allah's pleasure. Our pleasure must be Allah's pleasure. Anything you do, our weddings also, you do the same thing too. A lot of people put a blind eye on this wedding thing. It's very sad, you know. They don't realize that what a big sin it is. Allah Ta'ala will question you on the day of Qiyamah, that why have been so extravagant. You know, Hazrat Salman radiallahu ta'ala anhu, when his nikah took place, you know, he just went to the house and the house was full of curtains only. Not like this kind of what's happening now. The deco is 1 million rand. They're not worried where the money comes from. But the most important, that kind of nikah don't last also. Because Nabi comes and says, Inna Adama Nikah Mubaraka. The nikah that is done with simplicity and with the sunnah of Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then that nikah got a lot of barakat in it. But we don't look at it from that. And today, everyone, no one is talking about it at all. Our nikah, you find this month that is gone to that. And Salman Fazil radiallahu ta'ala, he did not enter the house. Yet it was his father-in-law's house to fetch his wife. He did not worry about that. He wanted Allah Ta'ala. He said, it looks like, you know, the Kaaba came to your house here. Or it looked like the house is full of fever, that's why he got all these curtains. He did not enter the house until they removed all that curtain. So that's how they were. The love for Nabi Karim, that's how their love for Allah Ta'ala was. They did not, they know what is right and wrong. So we have to also learn, let us do the right things, don't do the wrong things. Don't let keep anyone happy, keep Allah happy. End of the day, you're keeping this person happy and that person happy. When he is gone, then you must come to realize on the day of Qiyamah, Allah must save us from that. Then many a time you notice that you did so much good for that people against the law of Allah. Or you fulfill your child's needs, requirements against the law of Allah Ta'ala. Just because the love for your children is more than Allah and Rasulullah. Then on day of Qiyamah, that child will go against you. The people go against you. And that time you need for help. What kind of help you get? So let us be more realistic and try to put things right the right way in this world. That we have to keep only two people happy. Allah and Rasulullah. We say we love him. We want him to make, you know, shafaat on the day of Qiyamah for us. We want him as give us on the day of Qiyamah, give us from the hose, the kosar, you know, water. We ask him for that, we make dua, all those things. But do we do all those things, what he wants us to do? You must do those things, what he wants us to do. Then he loves you more than that. Then we know Monday and Thursday, our action is put in front of Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now how hurt he will be, that he come to realize that my ummah, saying he loves me, but he does those acts which is against my command. Many people, they go in front of the Rose of Mubarak without a beard also. They don't realize that Nabi is very hurt about it. You are happy that you are going very nicely and facing Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but is he happy to see you? Many people go from here by flights to go to for Umrah, which is not farz at all, it's nafil. It's optional. Is that you have to go? It's not to keep your wife happy and your mother happy, you have to keep Allah Ta'ala happy. On the journey, you'll find people, they don't need one namaz to. And then when they enter Makkah Sharif, they go Madinah Sharif, they go and face Nabi Karim in that condition. Tell me, is he happy to meet you? You ask yourself that question. He's not happy to meet you when you go against Allah. So we have to understand this, but our life must revolve in only one thing, Allah and Rasulullah. Then only we'll be given, we'll be happy in this world and happy day after too. So this thing is that your desire must be forgotten. Don't have desire. Shock is something people have, you know. I want a shock. I want to go here. I want to go there. I want to go there. You have the means, but you've got more responsible things. I won't forget as a Thani Rahmatullahi, one person was going to go for Umrah. Oh, it was a Hajj, not for his Hajj. He told him that there's more needy people needed. Why don't you say put your money toward those things where you get benefit, more benefit than going yet? So we come to realize that we must understand what the priorities are. If you're owing people money, it's very important to pay your debts. Many people for years have not paid zakat also. They don't realize that. They will learn to pay the zakat. Slowly they will learn to pay the zakat. Never mind, brother. Many people have got so many other needs. You might just find, you know, your next door neighbor or your own family is in need of something. You'll go for Umrah, but that person needs it, you know, badly. You won't pay that thing, not give one thing to. One person, when he was about to go for Hajj, and about to go for Hajj, and his wife telling, you know, what a nice aroma coming from the house, neighbor. Just ask for food, we want to also eat. So when the husband went and knocked at the door, Assalamu alaikum, what a nice aroma, a beautiful food. Can we have some part of it too? He started crying. So what are you crying for? He said, we didn't have food for 10 days. 3-10 days. On the road, I saw a dead chicken. I picked up the dead chicken and brought home to cook for it. It was halal for us, but not halal for you. When he heard that thing, you know, he was so hurt that my own neighbor next to me, you know, who is in need of this thing, and, you know, I did not even know about it. So he took his Hajj money, Ya Allah, my Hajj money is going to him. And he gave the Hajj money straight away without fail. It was written in the Kitab that in the time, day, and the night of Arafat, day of Arafat, while the Farishtas are talking to each other, they're saying that no one's Hajj been accepted today. No one's Hajj accepted. But because of one person's Hajj, he's not here. But because of his Hajj, Allah accepts everyone's Hajj. So we don't know that we may want to go somewhere, which is optional. But you use it in other purposes, Allah gives double reward. You know, so we have to understand where to draw the line. Many people, own mothers are sick. You know, they won't even take care of them too. The mother will tell, don't go for Umrah, I'm very, very sick. But because my wife wants to go, I have to go. And they just leave the mother in that condition, go away. They leave their own father in that condition. Now, what is most important, what is you have to do, is give priority to what you're supposed to do. The shock in Islam is not important. Do not have, fulfilling shock will not help in any way. That is not deen. That is not deen. Like one man, Hazarji, he mentioned this, Hazrat Muhammad Siyullah Sahib. He said a person staying in a very remote place, dangerous place, and there's not much neighbors next door to. No. And the husband tells the wife that, you know what, I'm going to read Isha Namaz in the mosque. And she says, you know, I'm very sick, I'm frightened. I'm frightened what's going to happen to me. The husband says, no, I'm not worried about you. Because that is shock, you know, shock. I want to do that. Or the mother. So what happens then? Hazrat says it's wrong of the husband to leave the wife in that condition and go to the mosque. But he has to read namaz there. So how many times you find so many people sometimes are very, very sick and there's no one to attend to them. Then you must know where to draw the line. You must know when that, no, I cannot go to the mosque now because circumstances. But if someone else, it's a different thing. You take in turn something else. But how you serve people, where you, what to do, what, when you want to do. So these are things that are very important. A lot of people are that kind. You know, so as he said, that in that reason, then, like people want to go out in tabligh. Alhamdulillah, tabligh is a very great work. Very great work. But they just leave the wife alone and go away. Now, that's not something that Allah Ta'ala gives permission for. You have to make pre-arrangements. I know Hazrat Thanvi Rahmatullah Alayhi. When a person comes there to ask, Hazrat, I came. He said, did you make all arrangements at your house before you come to see me? He said, I did not make. He sent them back home. Sometimes it's late. He said, oh, stay overnight and go back straight away. There is this principle, what to do, what not. I also know, a lot of people write to Hazrat and tell Hazrat Muhammad Siyullah Sahib, Hazrat, I want to come to you. I want to come to you. First thing you ask, have you made arrangement for all these things? You have taken permission from your wife. People don't take permission from their wives. They think they are the bosses, you know. They just say, I'm going. You have to ask permission. You say no, it's no. You understand what I'm trying to say? They got their rights. You have to know this, but that if they say you can't go, no, you're not worried. I want to go. Like one coincidence, alhamdulillah, this yesterday or today, one person wrote me a letter and telling me this, but that, you know, my friends are taking for fishing. See, and my wife gave me permission. So I wrote back to him and told him that your wife gave you permission, but who's going to look after when you're gone? He said, no one there. So he said, I told him, I don't give you permission. It's not me, it's the law of Allah Ta'ala. So alhamdulillah, he was a very good person. He said, look, I'm not going to go. So God tried to tell you, many things you do want to do something, but you must be careful what you are doing. It's very important, all these things. These are very, very important things. To go to masjid also. If your mother tells you, look, I'm very, very sick or something, no one there, don't go to the masjid. Read namaz. So this shock, you know, I want shock. I want to do something. No, if your shock, you must leave alone. The shock of Allah Ta'ala, you must think of. So this is what a few things I was thinking of telling you. The Nabi Karim Sallam taught us this, whatever you do. And Uwais Qarni Rahmatullah Alayhi was the best example. He never followed his shock. He never followed his shock. He's the best example. Who in a time, if in our time Nabi Karim was present now, what would have done? Your mother said, no, you can't go. Let her go. I'm going. His mother told him, Nabi comes only told him one thing, that your mother is old. Is there anyone to look after? He said, no one to look after. He said, you cannot come. How much desire he had in his heart to meet Rasulullah. That he'll get the status of a sahabi. You know, a small thing it was. In that time, he wanted to go. But look, Rasulullah, what he told. He told the sahaba that, look, that man, I told him not to come and how much desire, and that's Allah's command. He mustn't come because no one to look after his mother. Would he forgot his desire to become a sahabi? Because to become a sahabi is a very great thing to become a sahabi. Just to look at the eyes of Rasulullah is a very big thing. Do you know something? We are not supposed to talk bad of one sahabi too. We do not know the value of a sahabi. When Nabi comes, he said that, radiyallahu anhu, Allah ta'ala, radiyallahu anhu. Allah was happy with them, they were happy with Allah ta'ala. If we talk about one sahabi, you don't know what we're looking for. The lowest sahabi and the highest wali, the lowest sahabi, is more higher than that body, because he did not see Rasulullah. The love they have for Nabi Karim is beyond. We cannot even talk of the love of Nabi Karim. We can't even have the love of Nabi. Little bit don't have love. If you really look at it this much, that how many of us got true love for Nabi Karim? If we got true love, we'll do anything what he wants us to do. No one is doing that at all. The day love was something else. Their love was of this kind. They left the world, they left the family, they left everything. The moment Nabi Karim made hijrah to Makkah, Madina to Munawwara, straight away the Sahabas, they left the buildings, they left the businesses, they left the families. We go to Nabi Karim. So their love was something else. We can't talk about that. But just to tell you that how he's supposed to be, that way, Qanir Rahmatullahi, because what he sacrificed, Nabi Karim said, "Oh Umar, a person from Quran may come to Medina to ask him to make dua for him." And he even said to Sahabas, "That person comes, you must tell him to make dua for the Ummat. Because for look what he sacrificed. He sacrificed to not to see Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah gave him that status that if you make dua, Allah should accept the dua." So we also, if we have to follow the true sunnah Nabi Karim properly, Allah will accept our duas too. We think our dua is not accepted. Not that we're not accepted, we're not keeping Allah happy. Try to keep Allah happy and see Allah Ta'ala how He will keep you happy. So make dua whatever I've said. Allah Ta'ala give the true muhabbat Allah and true muhabbat Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And forget your shock, you know. Look at what is the priority. If you owe people money, give your pleasure. Pay your debts. Pay your debts, that's more important. And we know very well Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not perform the janazah namaz of a person who owed money. So Allah Ta'ala mahimari father from Allah. Wa akhudda'u alhamdulillah. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad. Wa ala ala Sayyidina Mawlana Muhammadin wa sahabi wa ba'du. Rabbana atim lana nurana wa gfir lana innaka ala kulli shay'in qadir. Allahumma nas'aluka ridaka wal jannah. Wa na'udhu bika min sakhatika wal nar. اللهم وفقنا لما تحب وترضى من القول والعمل والفعل إنك على كل شيء اللهم حاسبنا حسابا يسيرا فاطر السماوات أنت ولي في الدنيا والآخرة توفني مسلما والحكم الصالحين وصلى الله تعالى على كل سيدنا محمد برحمتك يا رب.